I was at a wedding a few weeks ago of my wife's very yeshivish cousins in Lakewood. And at the wedding, of course, the chasan and kala always come out to a certain song, the band play something. And over here at the wedding, so the band played the theme song to Pirates of the Caribbean. So just for those of you who don't know, so da da dun dun da da dun dun da da dun dun da da dun, right? Many of you have probably heard that, you've probably seen the movies. And it was hilarious to me to see everyone going crazy and dancing like crazy. And this is before the chasan kala even walked in. Now, of course, obviously, they're dancing like crazy because the chasan kala are about to come in, and everyone's excited, everyone's jumping up and down. But I thought it was funny because here I was in a room where pretty much every single person there is forbidden to have a TV, to really watch movies, and to have ever even seen Pirates of the Caribbean. Here they are dancing like crazy to something that they have no idea what it's from. And even if we're people who want to isolate ourselves from the secular world, it will inevitably creep into our lives. And certainly, we who are modern Orthodox are, of course, infiltrated by the culture in which we surround ourselves. We're consumers to one degree or another of social media, of secular music, TV, movies, and literature. And it's important, certainly in the month of El, it's important to take stock every once in a while of what we want to expose ourselves to and what we would like to stay away from. Right? How often do we in life just continue to do whatever it is that we've been doing for so long, and we're raised a certain way, and we have felt comfortable with that, which is a good thing. But at times we have to think, is this appropriate for me at this level, this stage of my life? And Rav Soloveitchik in the OU Chumashim on this week's Parsha, he has a beautiful, beautiful passage where he talks about the Eishes Yifas Tawar, where the Torah tells us about the Jewish people going to a war, Machemes Rishus, a voluntary war. And if you have a soldier who sees a beautiful woman, a beautiful captive, and one would have thought, without knowing it, that the Torah should continue to say that the person should overcome his Yetzer Hara. He might like her, he might be attracted to her, but let's go, move on. Move on, come on. But the Torah doesn't say that. Torah gives us specific guidelines and certain ways that a person could actually end up marrying this woman. And Rav Soloveitchik writes as follows. He says, the Torah warns us that after we go to war and are victorious in battle, we may see something that appeals to us, symbolized by the Yifas Tawar. Sometimes the Yifas Tawar, the beauty of Yafet, is worthy of emulation. That's Rav Soloveitchik is quoting a pasuk in Sefer Bereishis, where it talks about the people of Yafet who have tremendous beauty in general. And Rav Soloveitchik continues, at the same time, there may also be corruption in the Yifas Tawar. Beneath her attractive exterior lurks moral perversion. He says, the Torah never restricted us from absorbing the positive aspects of other cultures. When Yaakov and his sons left Canaan to go to Mitzrayim, they left an agrarian society and were confronted with an advanced technical civilization. The Egyptians had great architects and artisans from whom Bezalel learned the skills to build the Mishkan. Jews have never been forbidden to learn mathematics, medicine, or science from the non-Jewish world. So Rav Soloveitchik clearly states that we are supposed to take the positive components of the culture around us. Just like he says, Bezalel, who was the head architect for building the Mishkan, learned many components of his trade from the Mitzrayim. Rav Soloveitchik says, but when it comes to matters of sanctity, Jews must be ever vigilant. There's no shortage of vulgarity, egotism, or impurity in that world. When learning from the non-Jewish world, the Jew must draw from the good while at the same time rejecting its corruption. So of course, while noting the greatness of what they have to offer, Rav Soloveitchik says, but when it comes to Kedusha, you have to be really careful. We don't just want to take in whatever is offered to us, whatever is in front of our eyes. And Rabbi Dr. Norman Lamb, in his book, Torah Mada, so he writes in a very similar vein. I'll quote from Rabbi Lamb. He says, religiously committed individuals who participate in our contemporary society and culture are beset by a conflict of values and perceptions that is of the greatest personal consequence. The encounter of the two worlds within religious individuals and communities often leaves deep scars on the psyche of the individuals and the ethos of the community, but it also holds the promise of fascinating creativity, of new syntheses, of renewed efforts to grasp elusive insights. The tension between the sacred and the secular is a perennial one. So both Rav Soloveitchik and Rabbi Lim spell out and explicate the strengths and potential pitfalls of exposing ourselves to the secular cultures around us. And it's something where I think myself personally, like growing up, I never thought about this. Like, as I think all of us feel, probably, like the way you're raised, you think like, that is the ideal, that's the lechatchila. And anyone a little bit more to my left is not from it, anyone a little more to my right is a frumach. That's sometimes the way, unfortunately, that we think, that we're the best. Like, this is the way, the ideal way to live. But we can't just take in, we can't just bring into our houses every single thing that's in front of us. And we're likely familiar with the Midrashim that are in Vayikra Rabbah, in Lamed Beis, in Midrash Lekach Tov and Devarim, on Mem Vav Amud Aleph. This is something that's probably one of the most famous things that's quoted in relation to secular society, but it's actually usually said in just a word about the Jewish people getting out of Mitzrayim. What am I referring to? I'm referring to how they're actually, it's these two Midrashim which discuss how HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when it comes to him redeeming the Jewish people from slavery, so we didn't have, certainly we weren't given the Torah yet, there wasn't really much to do, but there really weren't many good qualities that the Jewish people had. And we're told that they were on the 49th level of Tumah. They were so, so low and debased in Egyptian culture and society that they were almost gone. And that's one of the reasons, that's one of the answers as to why, when Hashem, how could it be that Hashem told Avram they'd be slaves for 400 years if they were only slaves for 210 years? So one of the reasons is because had Hashem kept them there for even another second, they would have been gone. There would have been no chance of them being redeemed, them being taken out from the culture in which they brought themselves. But what does the Midrash say? The Midrash says that there are certain things they didn't change. There are certain things that the Jewish people kept. There are certain things that they made to distinguish themselves from the Mitzrayim around them. The most famous of the reasons listed in those Midrashim is that the Jewish people kept their clothing, their names. They had Jewish names. They wore Jewish clothing, wore a certain garb that clearly wasn't Egyptian. And they spoke the language. They spoke Hebrew. And we find that although they were immersed in Egyptian culture for over two centuries, they had these components of their Jewish identity, which was unwavering. And they wanted to be different and distinct from their Egyptian neighbors. And it was those distinctions which made them worthy of arousing Hashem's mercy to redeem them from their slavery. And then, as we're in the month of Elul, and taking an accounting of the past year, and envisioning, hopefully, how we want to live the coming year. We're supposed to think of ourselves right now. What do I want my year to look like? Not just what do I want to do today? What do I want tomorrow to look like? But think about the year. And we're supposed to come to Rosh Hashanah. Think of all the things we want to ask for in that year. And we should take stock. Which components of secular culture are good for our religious development and which are not? Now, of course, it's important, even if I think many things might be neutral. Right, there are certain things that might be advantageous for us, certain things that might clearly be bad, and that is important to take stock of. There are certain things that are neutral, that are healthy, that maybe watching sports could be a great thing, could be a nice relief from certain pressure, and to take a break to be able to do that. But we have to be honest with ourselves, and we have to do what's right, and each of us at our own level, every single person's on a different madrigo. What could be a holy thing for one thing could be a terrible thing for someone else. So every person at their own level has to think how much they want to expose themselves to. And it's important to note that not everything is black and white. There are many, many areas that are gray, which a person could look at this and it might be unclear what you should do. Sometimes one of the most important things is to say, to daven for Hashem, to for you to do His ratzon, for us to be able to serve Him in what He wants, and to help us know what you want us to do. And a lot of times there's tremendous ambiguity. So for those gray areas where a person is not sure, what should I expose to? Maybe it's based on your level, maybe it's based on what the exposure is. But I advise speaking to a Rav or a close friend, someone who really knows you, someone who wants what's best for you. and that they could hopefully ascertain whether this is something for you that should be embraced or pushed away. But every single person should be able to take stock, to come into the year and to decide, you know what, this thing that I've been doing for the last 20, 30, 40, or 50 years of my life, maybe I shouldn't do it. Or maybe I shouldn't do it as much as I'm doing it now. Or that thing that I've steered away from, maybe I could be exposed to that. Maybe I should bring that. Maybe that's not a bad thing. Maybe that is a good thing for me and my family. It's important for each of us to think about that, to take stock. And just like the Yafas Tohar, where it's beauty and it looks amazing on the outside, where there could be inside tremendous corruption, that we have to be very careful in what we bring into our lives, what our eyes see, and what we're exposed to. We should all be matzliach in picking and choosing the right things and exposing ourselves at the right levels to those components to be able to come to the new year to live the perfect life of balance.